From the bog to Sniperstone's village. The old miner's arms was kept by a Mrs. Sandals, a name used by Malcolm Savile for the landlady of the Hope Anchor Inn. Malcolm Savile's Seven White Gates farm is situated beyond Nipstone Rock, but the description is not of any particular farm in the area. The Lone Piners, the children who feature in these adventures, are pictured on the front of one of the books in a bucket on an aerial ropeway. There were two of these ropeways in the area, one near Haberley and the other at the bog. The seams of ore run from the bog towards Pennerley. To allow mining to take place in these mines without flooding, a drainage channel was cut in 1797 more than 100 metres deep. It was known as the boat level and drains out of the hillside near Stiperstone's village. If this ever became blocked, the area would soon return to a bog.
As you travel along the side of the ridge between the bog and Snail Beach, there are remains of mines almost every mile. The rocks of the Stiperstone's ridge are tilted in such a way that the minerals are not far from the surface. You can catch glimpses of tall brick chimneys and large brick and stone buildings, which housed Cornish beam engines, steam engines used for drainage of the mines. Examples of these can be seen near the pottery at Tankerville and also at Snail Beach. Both are heritage sites. If you visit either of these places, please respect the privacy of the people who live in the area. Remains of these small mines are everywhere. You can often spot an old Berytes refuse tip because the normal natural vegetation is replaced by some unusual plants, including orchids. To give you some idea of what it was like to live at the time of the mining, here's a quote from Golden Arrow. It describes the wise woman, Nancy Corra, who lived in a hamlet called Clays, Pennerley in reality. Huge heaps of lead refuse rose in unwholesome whiteness, like mounds of rather dirty sugar round the deserted mines. Her small cottage stood among the white mounds, with a strip of garden where she grew her yarbs. She would plod up into the larch woods with an old bucket and shovel and bring back leaf mould. Her plants survived, but their leaves were often strangely spotted.